A couple of months ago, on a Friday night, was when this crazy situation went down. I'm 27 years old and work as a teacher over at the elementary school. My fiance Scott had a big jiu-jitsu tournament upstate that weekend, so I was just hanging around the house alone that night with our pug Roscoe. Around 9 p.m., I decided to take a nice hot shower to relax. As I'm in there letting the warm water run over me, I suddenly hear Roscoe going bonkers outside the bathroom. Like crazy loud barking I hadn't heard from him before. I quickly shut off the shower to see if maybe someone was at the front door that got him all riled up. But that's when I heard something else. A loud thud coming from the back of the house. More specifically, it sounded like it was coming from the back door in the kitchen leading out to the backyard. I started to panic a little. I threw my towel around me and rushed out to the bathroom. Roscoe was standing right at the back door, just screeching his head off. As I got closer, that's when I heard it. A huge smash against the door. Someone was trying to kick it in. Adrenaline pumped through me as I screamed out I was calling the cops. But whoever it was didn't seem to care, since they just kept kicking violently at the door. I scooped up Roscoe and ran back up to my bedroom, locking the door behind me. I don't know how to explain it, but time itself felt like it was going in slow motion. I never felt anything like that before, and haven't since. But I guess I was so terrified that my mind and body just didn't know how to process what was happening. Anyways, I started pushing my dresser and anything heavy in front of the door to barricade it. Then I dialed 911 on my cell. The operator could hear how frantic I was, but tried to keep me calm. She said officers were on their way and would be here in less than 5 minutes. While I was giving details to the operator, that's when I heard the back door smash open. I could hear someone stomping around inside. A male voice started yelling out Scott's name, over and over. It had to be someone coming for my fiance. Roscoe was still going crazy, which led the man right to my bedroom. He started kicking the door, screaming Scott's name. I shrieked at the top of my lungs for him to leave, but he just kept kicking violently. The door started splintering and looked like he was going to be in my room at any second. I remembered the baseball bat Scott kept in the closet. I grabbed it and swung at the doorway whenever the guy kicked it open. I screamed I was going to crack his head open if he came in. Finally, I started hearing police sirens wailing outside. However, this guy just didn't seem to care, as he seemed absolutely obsessed with breaking into my room. He kept kicking harder and harder, and eventually, the door came completely off its hinges. Cops rushed in and got the guy just as he was about to get inside. They tackled him to the ground and cuffed him. It turns out this man has some long-standing beef with Scott and came looking to hurt him. I was so shaken up, but relieved when it was over. I called Scott, and he headed back right away. A few days later, the police came by to get my full statement on what went down that night. The man who broke in was named Derek Mills. Come to find out, he and Scott were college roommates years ago. They had some major falling out that turned hostile fast. Derek blamed Scott for getting him kicked out of school and ruining his life. He had been harboring this grudge for years. The night he came to our house, Derek had seen a photo of Scott and I that was posted earlier that morning on Instagram. Seeing how happy Scott looked enraged him even more, and so he decided it was the perfect time to come after him. We have no idea how he figured out our address though, and it's something he kept tight-lipped about. He said he had no idea I was home alone and was there specifically for Scott. But when it was apparent Scott wasn't there, he said I was the next best thing. Derek also mentioned that he knocked at the front door. When I didn't answer, due to being in the shower, he made his way around the back and forced himself in through the kitchen. I still remember that night when I was in my bedroom while on the phone with the 911 operator. I could hear Derek in the house trashing things while yelling for Scott to come out. He was clearly drunk and likely planned to attack Scott if he found him. Once in custody, Derek ranted about how he wanted to make Scott pay for what he did. He didn't seem to care at all about breaking into my house and terrifying me. The police arrested Derek for attempted burglary and aggravated assault. Since he had an illegally concealed weapon during the incident, several other charges were added on. Scott and I had to testify at Derek's trial a month later. He was found guilty on all counts and ended up with 7 years in prison. Needless to say, I was on edge for weeks after dealing with Derek's insane act of vengeance. I started taking self-defense classes and even got a stun gun. But despite that horrific night, Scott and I didn't let it derail our lives. We moved forward with our wedding plans and got married 2 weeks ago. I'm just glad I kept my wits about me that night alone with Derek. Things could have ended up much worse if the police hadn't shown up when they did. But now, it's just a crazy memory that Scott and I can look back on together. A scary story of how we almost saw our future ripped apart by someone unable to let go of the past. It was a chilly Friday morning in mid-October when my parents left for their hiking trip. They're both outdoor enthusiasts and are always on the lookout for new places to explore. I'm more of a hermit. I prefer the indoor life. I remember them being all excited as they packed their gear the night before. They reminded me about the extra cash in the drawer and the lasagna in the fridge. I was 15. Not a kid anymore, but they still treated me like one sometimes. Even though my parents have gone out on many trips like this several times, I still wasn't used to being alone at night. Our house, an old two-story colonial, always had this creepy vibe. It creaked and groaned like an old man settling into a chair. My room was upstairs, the last one at the end of a long hallway. I always thought it was cool to have the biggest room, but that night, it felt too big, too empty. That evening, I was wrapped up in an online gaming session with friends. We played Fortnite, lost track of time, laughing and shouting into our headsets. The clock on my computer screen blinked 2 a.m. before I even realized it. I said goodbye to my friends and shut everything down. The house was dead quiet, which didn't really help my anxiety levels. I crawled into bed, hoping my nagging paranoia would fade away. I felt like a dork being scared of being home alone at night, but I couldn't help it. I was just about to drift off when I heard the side door downstairs closing. It felt like every ounce of oxygen left my body in that very moment. That sound was unmistakable. It was the same sound it made every day when my parents came home from work. For a moment, I lay frozen, straining my ears for any other sound. But there was nothing, just the deafening silence of the house. I thought about calling out, but the fear of hearing a response was worse than the silence. I needed to check to make sure it was just my mind playing tricks on me. Slowly, I slid out of bed and grabbed my phone for light. My hand was trembling as I turned on the flashlight app. The light was so bright in the pitch darkness of the hallway. I tiptoed to the stairs, trying to make as little noise as possible. I could feel my heart almost leap out of my chest with each step I took. I paused at the top of the stairs, listening again, but there was still no sound. Descending the stairs felt like a journey into the unknown. I kept telling myself that there was absolutely nothing to worry about. There just had to be a logical explanation for the sound. When I reached the bottom, I peered into the kitchen. The moonlight, filtering through the windows, cast some real trippy shadows, but nothing seemed out of place. That was until I saw a figure speed walking towards me from the living room. The sight of that man charging towards me was like something out of a horror movie. I didn't even have a second to think. Instinctively, I screamed and turned, bolting back up the stairs. My heart was pounding so loud, it was all I could hear. In my panic, I tripped over my own feet. My phone flew out of my hand, tumbling down the stairs, its light spinning wildly. Lying there for a split second, I thought about grabbing my phone, but fear won over. I scrambled up and dashed to my room. Once inside, I slammed the door shut and locked it. I glanced around my room frantically, looking for something, anything, to barricade the door with. The dresser. It was heavy, but I managed to drag it in front of the door with nothing but pure adrenaline. With the dresser in place, I stood there, holding my breath. The silence was suffocating. Then, the sound I dreaded most, the creak of a floorboard right outside my door. My heart stopped. He was there, just inches away, separated by a thin wooden door. I felt like screaming, but I didn't. I couldn't. Then, the man spoke. His voice was chilling, a playful yet sinister tone. He said he just wanted to sleep over, asking me to let him in. The way he said it, it was like he was mocking me. His creepy voice paralyzed me with fear. I wanted to say something, to shout at him to leave, but fear glued my lips shut. I have no idea how much time passed during that moment, but it literally felt never ending. I didn't move, didn't even dare to breathe loudly. The man outside my door didn't speak a word or move as well. Then, breaking the silence, he spoke again. He said he was going to leave and visit another friend, since I wasn't being a good friend. His words were taunting, cruel. I heard his footsteps walking away, followed by his laughter echoing down the hallway. It was a laugh I would never forget. Finally, I heard the front door open and close. I waited, counting each minute that passed. I didn't dare move from my spot until a half hour had passed. Only then did I muster the courage to move away from the door. My legs felt like jelly as I pushed the dresser aside and cracked the door open. Peering out, the hallway was empty. I sprinted to the stairs, grabbed my phone, and raced back to my room. My hands were trembling as I dialed 911. I explained everything in a rushed, panicked voice. The operator told me to stay in my room and that help was on the way. I sat there, huddled in a corner, waiting for what felt like years. The police arrived and I heard them searching the house. They called out to me that it was safe to come out. I opened the door to see two officers standing there. They looked around but found nothing. No sign of forced entry, nothing out of place. It was like the man had vanished into thin air. My parents were called and they said they were coming home immediately. The sun was up by the time my parents arrived and we talked a lot about what happened. My dad felt horrible because he's pretty sure he forgot to lock the side door after throwing out the trash earlier that morning. The police continued their investigation, but they never found any trace of the man who entered our house. I couldn't shake off the feeling of being watched even though my parents assured me that our home was secure. They installed a new security system and made sure all the locks were changed. Even with all these precautions, it took a long time for me to feel safe again in my own home. That experience changed me. I was never the same person after that. The memory of that night, the fear, and the sound of that eerie laughter stayed with me, haunting every waking moment of my life. I've always been the kind of guy who enjoys the quiet, simple life. I live in a small town, work from home as a data analyst, and spend the weekends either fishing or hiking. My girlfriend Lisa and I moved into this old but cozy house about a year ago. Sure, it needs a little TLC, but it's home. Lisa's a nurse, always busy and working all sorts of wild shifts. God bless her. I just wasn't built for that kind of life. However, we make it a point to enjoy our little moments together whenever we can. Anyways, my encounter happened on a typical Thursday night. Lisa had her monthly dinner with her friends from work. I had settled in for a movie night. My surround sound system blared out explosions and gunshots from the movie Expendables 2. I reclined the sofa and had a bowl of popcorn within arm's reach. Life was great. It must have been around 9:30 p.m., right at a critical moment in the movie when I heard it. A thud. It was faint but distinct enough to catch my attention. I muted the TV, straining my ears. There it was again. Another thud. This time, a bit louder. It sounded like it was coming from the basement, but I wasn't too sure. I remember thinking, maybe I was just getting tired and was hallucinating, but I didn't feel that sleepy. But then, a loud crash jolted me up. It was unmistakable and definitely coming from the basement. It sounded like shelves collapsing. My heart skipped a beat. Our basement is usually a no-go zone, cluttered and forgotten. The only time we ever go down there is to check on the old water heater when it acts up. I sat there, frozen, trying to make sense of it. Maybe a shelf gave away, I thought. But deep down, I knew it was something else. My mind was racing with possibilities. We live in a safe neighborhood, but you hear stories. Break-ins, strange occurrences. I slowly stood up, feeling a little sketched out. The hallway to the basement door seemed longer than usual. I tiptoed up to the basement door, the wooden floor cold under my feet. The house was silent now, except for my own breathing. Then I heard it. Sobbing. It was faint at first, a quiet whimper. But then it grew louder, turning into a full-blown, hysterical crying fit. It was coming from the basement. My skin crawled with goosebumps, and I felt every hair on my body spike up. The idea of someone being down there was terrifying. We always keep the basement door locked. There was no way someone could have sneaked in without us knowing. Or so I thought. I grabbed my phone to call Lisa. I needed to hear a familiar voice. Someone to tell me I was overreacting. She answered, and I could hear the chatter of her friends in the background. Trying my best to sound calm, I asked her if she was still at dinner with her friends. She said yes. Then she heard it. The sounds of a woman crying hysterically, screaming at the top of their lungs. She asked who was there and where is it coming from. My voice, barely above a whisper, I told her it was coming from the basement. I remember telling Lisa that I was going to check it out, despite her calling me insane and warning me not to. There was a part of me, probably the part that loves those dumb horror movies, that needed to know what was going on even though I was pretty close to pissing my pants. She begged me to call the cops, but for some reason, I tossed all sensible logic out the window. So like a complete idiot, I hung up and approached the basement door. It's this old wooden door that always sticks a bit when you try to open it. My hand was shaky as I reached for the doorknob. The door creaked open, revealing nothing but darkness. Our basement light has always been a bit finicky, and of course, it chose that moment to not work. I shouted down the stairs, asking if anyone was there. No answer, just silence. I remember my heart pounding in my ears as I switched on my phone's flashlight. The light barely cut through the darkness. I took a deep breath and started down the creaky wooden stairs. The basement was as cold as ice. I could see my breath in the beam of my phone light. I've never felt it that cold before. The air felt heavy, like walking through thick fog. I kept moving until I made it to the bottom of the staircase. The shelves were fine, nothing knocked over. No sign of anyone or anything, just old boxes and forgotten junk. I stretched my phone out in front of me and scanned the area with the flashlight. It was so quiet you could hear a pin drop. That's when the door upstairs slammed shut. I nearly jumped out of my skin. I ran back to the stairs, trying the doorknob. It wouldn't budge. I was trapped. I remember thinking to myself that either someone is inside my house messing with me, or I have a bigger, more bizarre problem on my hands. I shouted for help, but it's not like anyone would have been able to hear me. We don't have close neighbors, and Lisa was still out. Then, the sobbing started again from a dark corner of the basement. It was louder now, more desperate. It was like the sound was bouncing off the walls. I shone my light back down the staircase, half expecting to see someone there, but there was nothing. Just me and the dark. The cold was getting worse. I could see my breath forming clouds in the air. My phone's battery was low, and then, just my luck, it died. The light went out, and I was left in total darkness. The sobbing turned into hysterical cries once again. It was like being in a nightmare. I could hear things being thrown around, and the sound of objects crashing against the walls. I was scared out of my mind, and fully convinced I was going to die that night. Out of pure desperation, I gave the door one last push, putting all my weight into it. It flew open, and I stumbled out into the hallway. I quickly slammed the door shut and ran out of the house into the street. She ended up leaving the dinner early and rushed home. When she got home, she found me sitting on the sidewalk across the street from our house, barefoot. I'm a grown man, but I couldn't help but break down and cry from the trauma when she came over to hug me. Together, we went inside and quickly gathered some clothes and essentials and stuffed them into some suitcases. We decided we couldn't stay there that night and instead booked a room at a nearby hotel. While in the safety of our hotel room, I told her everything that happened, but we couldn't come to any logical explanation for any of it. We stood at the hotel for about 2 days before we decided to head back home. This happened a few weeks ago, and neither of us has experienced anything else there. It's a complete mystery. 3 years ago, I had this crazy experience at home while my boyfriend was working his overnight shift as a security guard. It was a Thursday night, around 11 p.m., and I was curled up on the couch watching some TV show. Our place is a small two-bedroom house in a quiet part of town. I remember it was raining that night, the kind of gentle, steady rain that usually makes me feel super relaxed. I had all of the lights off, except for the TV and a small lamp beside me. The blinds were drawn, but I could still hear the rain tapping against the window. I decided to make some popcorn, so I paused my show and headed to the kitchen. Our kitchen is pretty open, and you could see most of the living room from there. I remember feeling a bit uneasy, but I couldn't figure out why. The popcorn was popping in the microwave when I heard this faint scratching sound. At first, I thought it was just the rain or maybe a branch from the tree outside our window. But then, it kept going, more like a scraping sound, and it seemed like it was coming from the front door. I told myself it was probably just an animal or something, but I was too sketched out to check for myself. I went back to the living room with my popcorn, trying to focus on my show, but that scratching noise was still in my head. I kept glancing at the front door, which was visible from my spot on the couch. Our door has this little peephole, but the idea of looking through it suddenly freaked me out. I texted my boyfriend about the noise, and he said it was probably nothing, but to check and see if the door was locked just in case. I realized then that I hadn't checked if it was locked since I got home. I was pretty good about locking the door usually, but that night, for some reason, I couldn't remember if I had done it. The thought of getting up to check the door made me feel really nervous, like something was waiting for me on the other side. I mustered up the courage to check the door. It was around 11:45 p.m. by then. My heart was pounding as I slowly walked towards it. I remember feeling every step, like each one was heavier than the last. When I finally reached the door, I saw that only the bottom one was locked. Our front door has two locks, the normal doorknob lock and a deadbolt lock. That freaked me out even more. I quickly turned the deadbolt lock, and right then, there was this loud bang against the door, like someone was trying to force their way in. I screamed. I ran back to the living room, grabbed my phone, and dialed 911. The operator told me to stay calm and that they were sending someone over. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, and I told them about the banging and the scratching. They said to find a safe place to hide and wait for the police. I hid in the bedroom closet. It felt like the safest place since it had a lock. I was sitting there, trying to be as quiet as possible, listening for any sounds. Then, I heard someone trying to kick down the back door, which was in the kitchen. It was the longest wait of my life. I kept begging the dispatcher to please send someone quick, but she kept assuring me that officers were on their way. Finally, I heard sirens outside, and the noise stopped. The police knocked on our door, announcing themselves, but I was still too scared to move until they came to the bedroom and found me in the closet. The police checked the whole house and found nobody inside. They said the front door showed signs of someone trying to tamper with the lock, but they hadn't gotten in. They also saw the damage done to the back door from the person trying to kick it down. It was just past midnight when they finished their search. They stayed with me until my boyfriend got home. He was so worried, and I was just relieved it was over. The police said it might have been a burglar who ran off when they heard the sirens. We never found out who it was, though. After that night, my boyfriend decided to find a day shift job since he no longer felt comfortable with the idea of me being home alone at night. Ever since moving into my apartment on the fourth floor 2 years ago, I felt pretty comfortable here. It's a cozy place, and I've gotten to know most of the folks who live on my floor. We're not exactly best friends, but there's a sense of community. That particular evening, a Tuesday around 11 p.m., I was just hanging out after a long day at work. I work at Best Buy, and days can get pretty hectic. So evenings are my unwind time, usually just me, some leftover pizza, and whatever's playing on the TV. That night was quiet, almost too quiet, which is weird for my building, I remember thinking, maybe everyone was out or something. I was halfway through an episode of some crime show when I heard this knock at my door. Now, it's not like people never knock on my door, but at that time of night, it's unusual. I paused the show, feeling a bit curious and slightly uneasy. Walking over to the door, I remember telling myself it was probably just a neighbor or something. Peering through the peephole, I saw this little girl standing there. It struck me as odd right away. She was just staring off to the side, not even looking at the door. When I asked what she wanted, her voice was timid, almost rehearsed, saying she was hungry and wanted some food. The whole thing felt off, especially when she hesitated after I asked about her parents. She said they were working, but the way she kept glancing off to the side made me think she wasn't alone. I remember feeling sick to my stomach, thinking how this could be some kind of setup. So I apologized, telling her I couldn't help, but I didn't move away from the door. Something told me to keep watching. I stayed glued to that peephole, my heart pounding in my chest. A minute or so passed, and that's when I saw him, a man emerging from the shadows. He was big, kind of looming over the little girl. He didn't say anything, just picked her up and walked away. The hallway was silent again, but I couldn't shake off the feeling of dread. I kept wondering, what if I had opened the door? What was their plan? My mind was racing with all these scenarios, none of them good. For the rest of the night, I couldn't sleep. I kept replaying the whole thing over and over in my head. After the incident with the little girl, I couldn't just brush it off and go back to normal. The next day, I talked to my neighbors about it, especially Dave, who lives a couple doors down from me. Dave's a big guy, about 6'5" tall, and he's the kind of neighbor you'd want on your side in a sketchy situation. We came up with a plan. If anything like this happened again, I'd text Dave, and we both opened our doors at the same time to confront whoever was out there. Fast forward to a week later, another knock came. This time, around 9 p.m. My heart was in my throat as I approached the door. Peeking through the peephole, there she was again, the little girl, standing and looking off to the side. I quickly sent a text to Dave and waited, my hand hovering over the doorknob. A few seconds later, our doors swung open simultaneously. The sight of Dave must have been intimidating, because the man who was hiding in the shadows, holding the girl's hand, suddenly picked her up and bolted down the hall. Dave shouted something, but they were already turning the corner. I remember standing there, frozen for a moment, before I snapped out of it and grabbed my phone to call 911. The police arrived quickly, and I explained everything to them. They took it seriously, especially with Dave backing up my story. The officer said they'd investigate and keep an eye on the building. The whole experience left me shaken, but I was also relieved that we had confronted them. It felt like, at least for that moment, we prevented something bad from happening. This happened to me about 4 months ago, so you can say it's still pretty fresh in my mind. My folks were out having dinner with some friends, and my older brother Charles, he had just left for this date. I remember it was around 7 p.m., because that's when I usually start my gaming sessions. I was all set up in my room, ready to squad up with the boys in Call of Duty. Charles had popped into my room just as I was about to start playing. He was in a rush, just letting me know he was heading out. I was already in game mode, with my headset on and eyes glued to the screen. I barely looked up, just waved to let him know I heard him. He left, and I was alone in the house. My setup is pretty cool, though. I got two monitors, one for gaming and the other for Discord, so I can chat and see my friends. We were deep into the game, switching between team deathmatch against each other and squatting up against others online. It must have been an hour or so into playing when something weird happened. Jay, one of my best friends, said he saw something move behind me. My room door was open, and with the gaming headset on, I couldn't hear a thing outside. Plus, my desk is set up so that my bedroom door is positioned behind me. At first, I thought Jay was just messing with me. We always try to distract each other during games. But then, he got serious, and a couple of others said they saw some guy walking past my door. I laughed it off and told them they were seeing things because no one else was supposed to be home. But they kept insisting. Jay was like, "Dude, turn around, seriously." I finally gave in, just to prove them wrong. But when I turned, there he was, this guy, just standing there at my door. He was wearing a hoodie, so I couldn't see his face, and he had this mask on covering most of it. He was also wearing a pair of black leather gloves. I was about to say something when he lunged towards me. It happened so fast. My friends were shouting through the headset, but it was like I was in some sort of daze. The last thing I remember before everything went black was the sound of my friends yelling through the headset, trying to warn me. The next thing I knew, I was waking up on the floor of my room. My head was pounding like someone had hit me with a hammer. It took a moment for me to remember what happened. When I did, I started freaking out. I scrambled to my feet, looking around to see if the intruder was still there. My room was a mess. Stuff was thrown everywhere. I checked the time, and it was almost 9 p.m., so I had been out for a while. I quickly grabbed my phone to call the cops, but then I remembered my friends had seen everything. They must have called the police already. Just as I was putting the pieces together, I heard sirens outside. The police arrived in no time, followed by my brother Charles. He looked panicked, rushing into my room. He kept asking if I was okay. One of the officers told us how the intruder got in. He had used a crowbar to pry open the back door. It was so quiet and subtle, I didn't hear a thing with my headset on. That detail made me shiver. It was just too easy for him to walk into our house. The thought of someone sneaking around while I was totally unaware was chilling. The police asked me a bunch of questions, but I couldn't tell them much. I didn't get a good look at the guy. They said they'd look into it and talk to our neighbors just in case anyone saw anything. My brother stayed with me the rest of the night, making sure I was all right. We found out later that my friends had called the cops right after I was knocked out. Jay even came by the next day to check up on me. He felt terrible, even though it wasn't his fault. A few days later, we got some good news. The police had caught the guy. It turns out one of our neighbors had noticed a suspicious car parked down the street that night. They remembered the license plate and gave it to the cops. The police tracked the car, and it led them straight to the intruder. Knowing he was caught gave me a huge sense of relief. I could finally start feeling safe in my own home again. You think you're safe in your own home. You lock your doors, close your curtains, and settle in for the night, secure in the knowledge that you're alone and protected. But what if you're not? What if someone is watching you, even when you think you're at your most private? It's a violation that cuts deep, and I'm here to tell you, it can happen to anyone. It happened to me. My name is Jamie. I'm 28, single, and I live alone in a small apartment in a quiet little town. I work as a cook at a local restaurant. Nothing special. I'm just a small town girl trying to make ends meet. I'm not particularly tech savvy. I don't have a huge social media presence, and I generally keep to myself. I never thought I would be the target of something like this. It started about a month ago. I was getting ready for bed when my phone buzzed. A message from an unknown number. I opened it, expecting spam, but what I saw almost gave me an out-of-body experience. It was a photo of my apartment, taken from across the street. I live on the first floor, so my window was clearly visible, and I could see the glow of my bedside lamp. That scared the living daylights out of me. I just sat there, going over every possible person I know, trying to figure out who could have sent me the photo. Part of me wanted to believe that someone I know was just playing a prank on me. But then it happened again, and again. Each photo was taken from a different angle, each one a little closer to my window. At this point, it was pretty apparent that this was no friend, because now, it was becoming too much. I reached out to my friends and family, hoping someone would admit to being in on the prank. But of course, everyone assured me that they had nothing to do with it. In fact, they were supportive, but they didn't quite understand the depth of my fear. One of my guy friends, Shane, told me it was probably some kid pranking me and to not overthink it. He then said they'll stop eventually if I just ignore them. But the photos kept coming. I finally decided to go to the police. I felt silly, like I was overreacting, but I honestly couldn't take it anymore. The officer I spoke to was kind enough to hear me out, but he couldn't offer much help. I got hit with the classic line of there not being much for them to go off of. Then, he said to just be more aware of my surroundings, and if I notice anything strange, to give them a call. I tried to go about my life as normal, but it was impossible. Every time my phone buzzed, I felt a jolt of fear. I started second-guessing everything, wondering if the cashier at the grocery store was watching me a little too closely, if the man standing behind me at Starbucks was following me home. I became more withdrawn, canceling plans with friends and spending more and more time holed up in my apartment. But even there, I didn't feel safe. The photos kept coming, each one more invasive than the last. I started to feel like my home had been violated, like there was nowhere I could go to escape the stalker. And then, one night, while working a late shift at the restaurant, I received a photo that made my heart stop. It was taken from inside my apartment, in my bedroom. I could see my unmade bed, my dresser with the drawers slightly open. And there, on my nightstand, was a framed photo of my late mother, a deeply personal item that I kept close to me. The photo was accompanied by a simple message: "You're never alone." I don't know how they got in or how long they were there. The police came and searched the apartment, but found no signs of forced entry. They dusted for fingerprints and took the photo for evidence, but I knew in my gut they wouldn't find anything. Whoever was doing this was too careful, too meticulous to leave a trace. And so now, I sit in my apartment, constantly on edge. Literally everything is freaking me out now. I keep my curtains drawn tight, but I can't shake the feeling that someone is still watching me. The police have no leads, and I'm left to wonder who is behind this and what they want from me. This experience has forced me to question everything I thought I knew about my own security and privacy. I'm sharing my story as a warning to let others know that this can happen to anyone. Be careful out there, watch your back, and never, ever take your safety for granted, because you never know who might be watching. They say when your gut tells you something's wrong, you should listen. That little voice in the back of your mind, warning you of unseen dangers. I didn't listen. I chalked it up to anxiety, stress, being overworked. I rationalized all the signs that something was off, and it nearly cost me everything. My name is Joe, and this is my warning to you. Never assume you're safe, even in your own home. I'm a pretty average guy, I guess. 32, no wife, no kids, and I've been working in construction longer than I can remember. It's not a glamorous life, but it's mine. I bought this little house about a year ago, figured it was time to put down some roots. It's nothing fancy, just a small two-bedroom in a quiet neighborhood. I liked the peace, the solitude. Turns out, I wasn't as alone as I thought. It started with little things. I would come home from work and find a cup not quite where I left it, or a drawer that was just slightly open. I didn't give it much thought at first. I figured I was just getting old, even though I was only 31. But then it started happening more often. I would find my toothbrush damp when I hadn't used it, or the milk carton emptier than I remembered. It was unsettling, but I couldn't quite put my finger on why. Then came the noises. I'm a light sleeper, always have been, so the slightest sound can wake me. It started with creaks and groans, the kind you would typically expect in an old house. But then, I started hearing other things. Footsteps. The rustling of clothing. Once, I swear I heard someone breathing, just on the other side of my bedroom door. I started to think I was losing my mind. I would lie awake at night, straining my ears for any sound, any hint that I wasn't alone. But every time I got up to look, there was nothing there, just empty rooms and silence. It all came to a head one night when I woke up to the sound of something crashing in the kitchen. I bolted out of bed and raced downstairs. The kitchen was a mess. Dishes shattered on the floor, food scattered everywhere. But what really freaked me out was the sight of a shadowy figure darting out of the room and up the stairs. That was so out of left field that I just stood there frozen. That's when it finally clicked. There was someone in my house. Someone who had been here for who knows how long, watching me, invading my space. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't confront them, not alone. So I did the only thing I could think of. I ran out of the house to call 911. Instinctively, I reached for my right pocket to grab my cell phone, but I had left it in my bedroom. So, I ran across the street to my neighbor's house, Barry, and asked him to please call 911. The police arrived within minutes. Several police cars had gathered at the front of my house. I told them everything that happened and was full of so much adrenaline that my voice was trembling. Everything I noticed happening, which I mentioned earlier in this story, is exactly what I told them. They listened, eyes growing wide as I described the figure I had seen. Then they drew their weapons and headed inside. I waited by a squad car about two houses down, huddled in a blanket one of the officers had given me. I don't really remember how long it was until the police came back out of my house, but they finally did, and with them, they dragged a man. He was filthy, his hair long and stringy, his clothes tattered and stained. He fought against the officer's grip, snarling and spitting like a feral animal. But what really struck me were his eyes. This guy looked completely unhinged. They hauled him away, and I was left to pick up the pieces. The police searched the house, and what they found chilled me to the bone. In the attic, hidden behind boxes and old furniture, was a little nest. A sleeping bag, empty food wrappers, a few tattered books. He had been living there, right above my head, for weeks. It took a solid 3 or 4 months before I ever felt comfortable in my own home again. In fact, I still have nightmares sometimes of those crazed eyes watching me from the darkness. But I'm one of the lucky ones, I suppose. I survived. So that's my story, for what it's worth. It's been a year since Michael, my husband of 25 years, passed away from a heart attack. His death was sudden and unexpected, leaving me to navigate this new chapter of life alone in the home we shared for so many years. Adjusting to this new reality has been challenging, but I found solace in my work as a freelance writer and the support of my friends and family. A few months ago, I decided to join Nextdoor, a local online community group app, to stay connected with my neighborhood and stay informed about any important updates. It was through this app that I first learned about the string of burglaries happening in our area. The posts on Nextdoor described a thief that would leave a unique mark on the doors of houses they had scoped out, likely to identify potential targets for future break-ins. The mark was said to resemble a small, triangular symbol etched discreetly into the bottom corner of the front door. Residents were advised to stay vigilant and report any suspicious activity to the police. I remember feeling extremely nervous as I read through the posts, my mind immediately jumping to worst-case scenarios. I tried to focus on the positives, reminding myself that I had a solid security system in place and that the chances of my home being targeted were slim. But then, a few days later, as I was returning home from a grocery run, I noticed something that stopped me dead in my tracks. There, on the bottom corner of my front door, was the very same triangular mark I had seen described on Nextdoor. It was in that moment where I felt myself giving in to the fear and nervously fumbled for my keys. I hurried inside, double-checking that all the locks were secure. I couldn't help but feel a sense of violation, knowing that someone had been on my property, possibly casing my home for a future break-in. That night, I barely slept a wink. Instead, I found myself constantly checking the security cameras on my smartphone and peering out the windows, expecting to see someone lurking in the darkness. Time passed, and I found myself questioning whether my security system was good enough to deter the burglar should they decide to target my home that night. It was just a whirlwind of thoughts and emotions. I thought about calling the police, but something held me back. Maybe it was the fear of not being taken seriously or something. So, I decided to wait until morning to reassess the situation, hoping that the light of day would bring clarity and calm me down. But the morning brought no relief. If anything, the mark on my door seemed even more ominous in the bright sunlight, a very obvious reminder of the potential danger that lurked just outside my home. I spent the day in a state of heightened awareness, jumping at every unexpected noise and constantly checking my phone for updates on Nextdoor. I read about other residents who had found similar marks on their doors and the growing sense of fear that permeated the community. As night fell once again, I found myself gripped by a new level of terror. I just had a nagging feeling that something was about to happen, that the burglar was out there, watching and waiting for the perfect moment to strike. I double and triple checked every lock, made sure all the windows were secured, and even pushed heavy furniture against the doors as an extra precaution. I sat in the living room with all the lights on, a baseball bat clutched tightly in my hands, my eyes glued to the security camera feeds on my laptop. The hours dragged on, and with each passing minute, the tension in my body wound tighter and tighter. And then, just as I was about to succumb to exhaustion, the sound of glass shattering snapped me awake, followed by the blaring of my security alarm. Overcome with an extreme level of anxiety, I quickly grabbed my phone and dialed 911, praying that help would arrive before it was too late. As I waited for the police, my mind raced with a million thoughts of Michael and how desperately I wished he were here with me, of the life we had built together in this home, and how it all seemed to be crumbling around me in this moment of terror. In the end, it turned out to be a rock that was thrown which shattered my kitchen window, triggering the security system. The rock had a rubber band wrapping a white piece of paper around it. On the paper was a smiley face drawn in red marker. Clearly, a message was being sent. The fear and trauma of that night lingered long after the police had left and the broken glass had been swept away. I told my two sons, who are both in their late 20s, and one of them came and stood at the house with me for a few weeks. He refused to leave me alone there while some crazy person was harassing me. But even well after my son left the house, I still find myself double-checking the locks and peering out the windows, a part of me always bracing for the worst. The scars of that night and the loss of my beloved husband are still fresh, and I know it will take time for me to truly feel safe and at peace again. My life took a dramatic turn 4 years ago when cancer took my wife, Jenna, leaving me to navigate the complexities of parenthood alone. Having served in the United States Army, completing 3 tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, I thought I was prepared for any challenge, but nothing could have trained me for the terror of that night. Transitioning back to civilian life, I found a semblance of structure in construction work, but balancing time with my 11-year-old daughter, Chelsea, became a constant struggle. The loss of Jenna wasn't just a blow to my heart. It was a seismic event that shook the very foundation of my mental well-being. Her passing, intertwined with the latent PTSD from my years in the service, created a storm within me that I battled daily. Despite these challenges, I cling to the moments with Chelsea, as they are what keep me grounded and remind me there's still beauty in this world amidst all the chaos. That particular night, the house felt emptier than usual, with Chelsea at a sleepover with her best friend. Alone in my bed, the stillness of the night was suddenly shattered by the sound of the front door creaking open. In an instant, my heart raced and the familiar grip of adrenaline took hold. Without hesitation, I retrieved my pistol from the safe and moved through the house with the stealth and precision of my days in the field. As I crept silently down the hallway, the unmistakable shadow of a person flickered across the moonlit walls. The sight ignited a determination within me, a resolve hardened by years of military discipline and the innate drive to protect my family. As I continued my search, my paranoia reached new heights, and I found myself jumping at the slightest sound. The stress of the situation had me in a state of hypervigilance, unable to relax even for a second. I moved through my own home like a stranger, mistrustful of every corner and every closed door, driven by the desperate need to protect what was mine from the unseen threat I was convinced was lurking in the darkness. Realizing that dealing with this situation by myself might not be the best idea, I decided to call the cops for help. I found a somewhat hidden spot in the living room and dialed 911, keeping my voice as low as possible while explaining the situation to the dispatcher. When the police finally showed up, they were quick to start a thorough search of my house, moving room to room with a professionalism that made me feel a bit more at ease. Despite their efforts, they didn't find any signs of an intruder. As they were wrapping up, I remembered my security camera system. Rushing over to my phone, I quickly opened the app, ready to pull up the footage for the police. Going through the footage, we scanned every angle covered by the cameras, but to my surprise and embarrassment, there were no signs of an intruder. The realization hit me hard. It hadn't been a real intrusion, but rather a severe PTSD episode that made me perceive a threat where there was none. After the police left, I was left alone with my thoughts, reflecting on what had just happened. The incident made me realize the full extent of how my PTSD was affecting my ability to ensure a safe and stable environment for Chelsea. The thought of what could have happened if she had been home that night was chilling. I understood then that seeking help wasn't just an option, it was necessary, not only for my own health, but for my daughter's well-being too. The next day, I started looking into counseling services for veterans dealing with PTSD. It was a tough step to take, admitting I couldn't manage this on my own, but I knew it was the right one. For Chelsea, I wanted to be the best father I could be, and that meant confronting my past head on, dealing with my PTSD in a healthy way, and ensuring that our home was a place of safety and peace. The night of the false intrusion was a wake-up call, pushing me toward a path of healing and recovery for both my sake and my daughter's. I've been living in New York for the past 3 years, trying to build a new life for myself after leaving California. The decision to move wasn't an easy one, but I knew it was necessary to escape the toxic relationship I had with my ex-boyfriend Victor. He was possessive, manipulative, and had a temper that scared me. When I finally found the courage to end things, he didn't take it well. He would constantly call and text me, pleading for another chance and promising to change. But I knew better. I had to cut all ties and start fresh, even if it meant leaving everything I knew behind. I thought I had finally found peace in my new home, but that illusion was shattered when I received the first phone call. It was late at night, and I was just about to go to bed when my phone rang. The number was unknown, and I hesitated before answering. When I did, there was silence on the other end, followed by heavy breathing. I got chills as a distorted voice whispered my name. I hung up immediately, my heart racing. I tried to convince myself that it was just a prank call, but deep down, I knew better. The calls continued every night after that, each one more disturbing than the last. As the days turned into weeks, the calls became more frequent and disturbing. What started as heavy breathing and whispers escalated into graphic descriptions of what the caller wanted to do to me. I tried to block the number, but the calls persisted, coming from different numbers each time. I began to dread the sound of my phone ringing, jumping at every notification. Sleep became a luxury I could no longer afford, as I lay awake at night, wondering when the next call would come. The constant fear and paranoia started to take a toll on my mental health. I found myself looking over my shoulder constantly, even in the safety of my own home. I knew I had to do something, so I started to investigate the caller's identity. I kept a log of the times and numbers, trying to find a pattern. As I delved deeper, memories of my past relationship with Victor began to resurface. I remembered how he would constantly check up on me, demanding to know where I was and who I was with. He would show up unannounced at my work or home, claiming he was just worried about me. At first, I found his attention flattering, but it quickly turned into an obsession. He would go through my phone and text messages, accusing me of cheating on him. The final straw came when he showed up at my friend's wedding, causing a scene and embarrassing me in front of everyone. That's when I knew I had to leave. As I continued my investigation, a sinking realization dawned on me. The caller's voice, though distorted, started to sound familiar. It couldn't be, but deep down, I knew it was him. Victor had somehow tracked me down, despite my efforts to escape his obsessive clutches. The messages became more personal, referencing details about our past relationship that only he could know. He taunted me, saying that he would never let me go, that I belonged to him forever. The threats escalated, and I knew that it was only a matter of time before he would show up at my doorstep. I was absolutely terrified. I couldn't live like this anymore, constantly looking over my shoulder and fearing for my safety. I realized that I couldn't handle this on my own anymore. Victor's obsession had crossed the line, and I knew that I needed help. It was time to reach out and find a way to put an end to this nightmare. I couldn't let him control my life any longer. I had worked too hard to build a new life for myself, and I refused to let him take that away from me. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my racing heart, and decided that it was time to seek help. This situation had gotten out of control, and it was truly scaring me. I reached out to the police, desperate for help and protection. However, I quickly realized that without concrete proof of Victor's involvement, there was little they could do. They attempted to trace the numbers, but it was a dead end. Victor was clever, covering his tracks and making it nearly impossible to link him to the harassment. Feeling helpless and frustrated, I decided to change my phone number, hoping that would put an end to the constant calls and texts. For a brief moment, I thought I had finally found peace, but it was short-lived. Somehow, Victor always managed to find my new number, and the cycle of terror began anew. I'm constantly stressed and on edge, jumping every time my phone rings. I've been keeping my cell phone turned off lately, only turning it on when I absolutely need to use it. The fear of hearing his voice or reading his threatening messages consumes me. I feel like a prisoner in my own life, but I refuse to let him win. I have come too far to let Victor control my life again. I vowed to myself that I would find a way to break free from his obsession, no matter what it took. I know it won't be easy, and the lingering fear will always be there, but I'm determined to reclaim my life and my peace of mind. I won't let him break me. I stumbled through my front door, my eyelids heavy and my mind foggy after a seemingly endless shift at the hospital. As I fumbled with my keys, I noticed that the door was already unlocked and slightly open. My gut was telling me this wasn't good. I wondered if I had forgotten to lock up in my rush to get to work that morning, but I couldn't quite recall. Pushing the door open, I cautiously stepped inside, my senses suddenly on high alert. I moved from room to room, flipping on lights and checking for any signs of an intruder. The living room looked untouched, the kitchen just as I had left it. Upstairs, the bedrooms and bathroom were all clear. Nothing seemed out of place. I let out a heavy sigh, my shoulders sagging with relief and exhaustion. I must have just forgotten to lock the door while rushing out. Too tired to dwell on it any longer, I trudged up the stairs to my bedroom and started getting ready for bed. All I could think about was the inviting comfort of my bed. As I slipped under the cool sheets and my head sank into the pillow, I felt the stress of the day slowly melting away. My eyes drifted shut and I surrendered myself to the blissful embrace of sleep. I was just about to drift off when I heard a strange noise coming from the basement. At first, I wasn't too sure what it was, and I was way too exhausted to care. I rolled over and pulled the covers up, trying to ignore the sounds and fall asleep. But the noise kept going, getting louder and harder to brush off. It sounded like something was moving around down there, scraping and shuffling on the concrete. That's when I started to snap out of it and really pay attention. Something just didn't feel right. Ignoring it obviously wasn't working. Grudgingly, I dragged myself out of bed and grabbed my phone, turning on the flashlight. I didn't want to start flipping on lights just in case. So, I made my way downstairs. Each step I took seemed to increase my level of fear. When I got to the basement door, I paused, my hand frozen on the knob. The noises had stopped, which pretty much confirmed that someone or something was down there. I took a deep breath and slowly opened the door. Before taking another step, I called out if anyone was down there. Obviously, no answer. That's when I started to slowly make my way down the stairs. The flashlight from my phone made eerie shadows dance on the walls as I swept a beam over the cluttered space, looking for whatever had made the noise. That's when I saw it, a dark figure crouched in the far corner, eyes glinting in the light, watching me. My blood turned to ice as the realization hit me. I wasn't alone down there. The figure in the corner rushed at me, catching me completely off guard. I barely had time to react before they slammed into me, knocking us both to the hard basement floor. We struggled and fought, rolling around and throwing punches. I tried my best to fend off the attacker, but they were too strong. I managed to land a few solid hits, but it wasn't enough to stop them. In the chaos, I tried to grab my phone to call for help, but the intruder knocked it out of my hand, sending it skittering across the room. Then they landed a brutal blow to my head, making my vision explode with stars. I felt myself starting to black out, but I tried to keep fighting. It was no use though. My body just wouldn't cooperate. Everything started spinning, and then it all went dark. I don't know how long I was out on that cold, damp basement floor. Time seemed to stand still down there in the darkness. I lay there, completely unconscious and helpless. I didn't know it at the time, but the intruder had left me there like some piece of trash and made their way upstairs. While I was out cold, they helped themselves to whatever they wanted, and I was completely helpless in stopping them. When I finally came to, my head was pounding and my whole body ached. It took me a minute to remember where I was and what had happened. I slowly sat up, wincing at the pain that shot through my skull. I knew I had to get out of that basement. I managed to crawl my way up to the stairs, each movement sending fresh waves of agony through my battered body. Disoriented and barely able to think straight, I hauled myself up the steps, using the railing to pull myself along. When I finally made it back to the main floor, I couldn't believe my eyes. My house was completely trashed. Furniture was overturned, drawers were hanging open, and there was broken glass everywhere. It looked like a tornado had torn through the place. As my mind started to clear a bit, I realized that the intruder must have ransacked my home while I was unconscious. My heart sank as I noticed some of my most valuable possessions were missing. I tried to think back to the struggle in the basement, searching for any detail that could help identify my attacker. But the only thing I could remember was that they were wearing a mask. It had covered their entire face, making it impossible for me to get a good look at them. I went back to the basement to grab my phone and call the cops. As I waited for the police to arrive, a terrible thought crept into my mind. What if the intruder came back? They had caught me off guard once, and I had no way of knowing who they were or what they wanted. In that moment, I had remembered me coming home to my front door being opened. It became very clear that they were the reason for it. Knowing that the person responsible was still out there only added to my level of anxiety. Thankfully, it's been a few months since then, and I haven't had any further issues. But that scumbag will always be lingering in the back of my mind.